The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's up, hot queens?
Did you bring the baby gherkins?
This is when I really felt like maybe we shouldn't do this podcast.
Astronomical.
I hate to see it.
Wasted potential.
Are you drunk?
I am so drunk right now.
Welcome to Bad Author Book Club, where we're not like other authors, we're worse. I'm Clarabelle A. Ortega.
And I'm Ryan LaSala, and we're two authors reading the most bizarre fiction we can find. And right now, that bizarre fiction is a book by Kendall and Kylie Jenner, a famously unfamous, uncritically reviewed book known as The Story of Lex and Livia, Rebel City of Indra, iconically unpromoted for whatever reason. And we are delving into uncritically
acclaimed.
Critically unacclaimed. Like, critically ignored book by Kylie Kendall Jenner.
Oh, my stomach.
Oh, my God. So we are the Bad Author Book Club. If you are listening to this wherever you are, we thank you. We encourage you to write a review, leave like a rating wherever you're listening to us. It helps us find new listeners, helps us keep the lights on and buy lip gloss, you know, the two most important expenses in podcast land. And if you want to follow us on social media, we are in various places. Check our show notes for all of our links and check our Discord link in the show notes as well, too, because we actually do a lot of activity in our Discord. It's always popping in there.
It sure is.
Fun fact, Clarabelle's moving, and we both stand to benefit immensely because Clarabelle will soon have an office. This is like the dream of the dream, right? Like having a dedicated office space for like writing, podcast stuff, arts and crafts. Like
so excited.
I motherfucking wish. Oh my God. Do you have like an aesthetic in mind?
Yes. So my idea is like either one or two of the walls is going to be like a dusty pink. Probably the wall where the window is. Okay. And then the colors are going to be basically dusty pink and white. And then all the hardware is going to be gold.
Ooh, a gold girl.
And then gold and wood. So like wood desk. Like wood and gold accessories with a couple like colors thrown in there, and then plants. So it's gonna be sort of like I guess green, light brown, and pink with a touch of gold. I'll send you pictures. I have pictures of what I want it to look like. I've picked out a desk. I've picked out like a reading chair to put like next to the window that like converts into like a little bed as well.
Oh, cute.
Which is perfect because it could be like an extra little bed for like guests. Me. Even though we do have a guest bedroom. No, you'll be in the guest bedroom.
Amazing. I sort of imagine us like doing our recording and then you just tuck me in the little recliner, and
that's, we can do that.
Yeah,
let's do that.
I can't wait for you to move. I feel there's so many cool things on the horizon. It's so exciting. And well, okay, do you mind quickly telling us where you've been and what you've been up to? Because I know the listeners are just so curious.
I was in Korea for a little over a month. It was quote unquote vacation. I was writing the whole time. I don't know how to not write usually. And I'm actually pretty unhappy if I'm not writing, to be quite honest with you. So I worked on like a passion project the whole time I was there, but I also, it was sort of like I had been working my way up to being able to do this kind of travel for pleasure for a long time because of my anxiety that got like significantly worse after like the pandemic started. Being able to leave my house just to go to like the coffee shop was like, it was near impossible for me. It was really, really difficult. So I finally had like worked my way up to like do this trip that I had always wanted to do. And I did it. And like I tried all this like new food. I did like things that were scary to me, like a speedboat that like literally almost made me have a heart attack. Like my fitness watch was like, great run. Great job. On your run
after the speedboat,
yeah, and it has a little map where it shows you like my route, and it's like all in the ocean, just like squiggly lines. It's incredible. It's
like, yeah, like somewhere at Apple, some employees like, "Damn, you will not believe what this bitch just did." Someone looks over her shoulder. She's like, yeah, "She did it quick too." Like, look.
So I did a lot of things that like I would have never been able to do. Just like a year ago.
I was watching through like the lens of like various social media things, and the trip looked delicious. Everything that you posted, like food, the cafes, like the little desserts, looked so good.
Well, yeah, Korea's food is incredible. Like even just going to Starbucks was such a different like experience because the drinks are better. They're just like creamier and nicer, especially because I usually get matcha, and they have like fresh matcha from Jeju Island like right at all their Starbucks.
That's crazy.
So it was really nice. It was a great experience. It like opened my palate, not just like food wise which I also had anxiety around. It was part of like my social anxiety was like not being able to try new foods, but also just life in general. It was really nice.
Yeah. That's a big deal. I'm so glad that you got to go. I'm so glad that you like went and did everything that you did. Just knowing sort of secondhand from conversations, like what that anxiety means for what you get to do or what you let yourself do. Like that is such a huge leap, right? Like what a huge accomplishment. So I'm very glad that you got to do that. I'm very glad that you're back, though.
Thank you. I'm glad, too. I'm never going away for that long without you again. And also,
yeah,
why don't you tell everybody? I mean, you had episodes literally without me while I was gone.
Wait, did you listen to the episode where I re-recorded our theme, but it was just me?
What? No. Oh, my God. I haven't heard that yet.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah. The one where it's just me interviewing myself. I thought it'd be funny if I re-recorded our theme song, but I did all of the, like, the, like, lines. Like,
you are such a clown. I love you so much. I can't wait to listen to that.
Fully published this from, like, in the air above, like, the Pacific Ocean, and, like, you were asleep, and I was like, I can't wait for people to listen to this. That's so funny.
I also love that you've given in to plain Wi-Fi, but you talk to people about Beholder and what you've been doing this whole time as well. So
oh my gosh, yeah, no, I know. We got the podcast got the lowdown on the sort of behind the scenes for Beholder, but I will say, after I recorded that, I went ahead and I was on tour for a little while, which was wonderful. I did like a 4-city tour for like the first part of my tour, and then I've been doing other events here and there. Like I just had an event last night at Barnes & Noble. I do like a spooky salon every year, which is such a blast. I basically get to have like an adult Halloween party in a Barnes & Noble, and it's an excuse to like buy a bunch of candy and then have like a costume contest. And our friend Kat Cho was in the costume contest but lost. Sorry, Kat, you looked really cute, but
wow.
The person who won, and this is, it's by the highly scientific method of applausometer, so just for whoever's getting the most applause from the audience, was someone who dressed up as the girl with the green ribbon. Do you know that? Like, that story, it's about a girl with a green ribbon around her neck, and everyone's like, why do you have that ribbon on?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And she's like, I have to keep it on, please, and then they, like, she removes it after her husband, like, finally marries her. She has like a long successful life, and then finally someone removes the green ribbon and her head falls off.
Awful. You would think that if a ribbon could keep her head on, there'd be some sort of like medical procedure she could do, but alas.
It's just a ribbon. Yeah, it's just a ribbon. That, oftentimes I feel like I see myself in that character. It's just a ribbon keeping this all together. That's all we got. But things have been good. I'm definitely excited to be back here with you, back in the city of Indra. Although we will say this chapter, we went from
it's
such
a stinker.
to such a low. And it really, I had this delusion that we were going to sort of be on the upswing after we had those really good chapters. I don't know if you remember, like where we left off. For anyone who doesn't remember, that's okay. It's been a little bit, but we had some really good chapters. No, that is not the case for this one, though.
Yeah, I mean, the Emergence Ball really was like a moment, right? Like, I was really excited. Yes. We had some action. We finally got a payoff of like what we had been waiting for. And then it literally feels like we took a step backward.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, we literally did.
Literally, yeah, to like what? Yes. So we're back. We're getting back into our regular schedule. Thank you for I will say the Discord was popping off the entire time. So
yeah, I need to be more in the Discord. But you know what? I think it will be easier.
Yeah,
I was in Korea.
That's okay. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be more. Not hopefully. We will be more consistent.
No, it's going to be way better.
And I want to finish this book. I'm really excited. Yes. And I don't have a book releasing until fall of next year, so we have many months.
Dude, oh my god. Yes. I mean, our falls are always really wild. Just cuz we write spooky stuff and then people want like and then, you know, you and I also like are doing trips now, right? Like you went to Korea, I went to Hawaii. I was in Hawaii for like a school visit, but also just to like I was being flown there for like a school visit, and then I thought, so long as I'm going to be there, like let me hang around for a little while. So I stayed there for some days too. I would highly dissuade myself from making the same choice the next time I publish a book, because it is very hard to be totally where you're not supposed to be for like a few weeks and then kind of coming home and like being like, oh right, I have to like launch a book. That was really hard.
It's a lot. Yeah, that must have been it was difficult.
It was good, though. I mean, like, getting to do a school visit in Hawaii and, like, to be invited there and to, like, actually meet the people. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So there was no way I was going to say no to, like, that offer and to get to kind of have that opportunity. But that is a long way to go. And then to sort of take time out to, like, you know, do all the stuff that you want to do is a little hard when you're allegedly also supposed to be launching a book. And you and I say this all the time, but, like, we get a lot of, like, pressure put on us to like market ourselves.
My god, so like so all of it.
Yeah, like anything you guys see us do, typically it's like us top to bottom doing it. So that was sort of like that was that like breathing down my neck, even though I was trying to like enjoy this like beautiful experience. I was like, I'm so behind on everything.
Yeah, it's also just like a really stressful time to be an author. Like things against us, especially we're both Scholastic authors, and if you've been keeping up with the news, it's been a little hard.
Oh my god, so mad at Scholastic.
It's been really hard. The bulk of my income is from the clubs and fairs, and my book has been censored in a lot of places. And I told you before, like, well, my royalties are not what they usually are. And like, now I kind of see why. For any listeners who can go out and get our books from any like indie bookstores, especially, that would be such a great help for us, especially, you know, Beholder just came out. And Witchlings 3 is coming out next fall. So seeing that support for the other two books would really be good for the series.
One thing I wanted to mention to folks too, because I know a lot of our readers like love our books and like have, you know, gone through the effort. Like, because I just signed books for people like for the podcast, like several people. Thank you, by the way. If you like pre-ordered from like Books of Wonder or any of the other stores and I like signed your book, that was really fun to see.
Yeah.
Like to sign Hot like Queens. Hey, Hot Queen. Yeah, like in a book. That was really cool. But if you like our books and for like new people too, like books also make really great gifts. I saw David Levithan sort of say this at a panel recently, and it like I now try to mention this too, where a lot of the people at our events like have come to see us before, and I was like, oh, like if you want to support us, like grabbing this and then handing it to like a kid in your life, like a spooky kid in your life, like that is a great thing to do, especially with like the holiday season coming up. We were just at Comic-Con and literally I was in the Scholastic booth and some people were like looking at books and I was like, do you like spooky books? And they were like, well, yeah, but like I'm an adult. I was like, do you know any spooky children? And these people were like, yeah, I know several spooky children. Actually, I was like, great, let me show you Witchlings. And I like got to like pitch them on that too. And so everyone knows that spooky child in their life, but...
Oh, 100%.
So we highly encourage you to make sure that they're reading. If you can tell, Clairvelle and I are both like trying to toe the line really gently about a really, really serious issue with censorship and then our own publisher sort of participating in it. And it's, yeah, just like you said, it's not an easy place to sort of exist right now as an author.
At all.
Especially doing like promotion and then... there's everything else that is going on too. So times are hard right now. It makes me thankful that we are sort of back face to face with our like stupid little book. It's like a distraction.
Stupid little book. Speaking of which, should we jump right in?
Let's get into it.
Today's episode is Chapter 13, 2 weeks following apprenticeship.
I hate this. You know what? Like the titles being like 2 weeks following, like I don't remember apprenticeship. When was that?
It's made up.
So now I have to keep this in mind. I don't know. Just they've gotten themselves. They could just continue the story linearly. We don't have to do the countdown.
The countdown's done. The countdown's over. Right. We're done with that.
Yes. So this is a Lex chapter for anyone a little rusty, at which I was when I picked this up. The last thing that happened was that really confusing scene where Lex tried to rendezvous with Kane in his memory by the obelisk, but instead, Cassina was there, and she was like, give me your wrist, and like, let me swap out the discs, and then they're in like a bunker somewhere underground, but now they're in a memory. Like, the last chapter ended with them entering a memory of Kane's, which is what we're about to pick up in.
Yeah, it's, I feel like this didn't work at all, but I feel like that's not going to come to a surprise to anybody. So we start off with Lex kind of observing the memory, and she's like, a girl, she's air, I can tell. And she's like, she looks a mess though. And then she comments on the horse. What's the horse names again? Veda. And she's like, not synth white, pure white. And I'm like, okay, racist. So she's basically like describing her. And just, she's describing exactly what we already know happened.
Yes.
From her point of view.
Yeah.
However, we're not learning anything new from her point of view.
This is...
So it's very, like, okay. As someone who... just finished revising a dual POV young adult, I think it can be really interesting to play with the characters sort of reliving each other's chapters, which happens a couple of times. But the problem is you need to show the perspective of the other character. Like, what is the other character seeing and experiencing that your first character doesn't see, right?
Why are we back here? Why are we back here? There has to be a point to this. It can't just be, like, because otherwise... Clearly what they wanted was they needed Lex to observe the scene that just happened with Livia and Kane, right? Like the whole like botched assassination. They want her to have that information, but why we couldn't just do this in summary, I don't know. It's a whole chapter dedicated to us basically going through the same scene, but through the eyes of her. But also, what was so weird to me about this is that like it's Kane's memory, but it's told via like... a camera watching it all, so it's not from behind Kane's eyes. I don't know. I guess the memories, the way that they're archived, are such that like there's sort of like video games that you can like walk around within, and I guess that's been established, but like Kane blacks out during this. We know this because we just saw it happen. Yeah. He's beaten unconscious, so his memory would stop. So really these aren't memories. They're just archived sort of like recordings of these people in like a surveillance state, I guess. I don't know. I think that's kind of what it is though.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And like, I really do think like literally like the first like maybe two pages is just Lex recounting what we already saw from her point of view with less information than we already have. Like, that's not interesting. Yes, like, not at all. If I understand why they didn't want this to come first, because it's a big twist what happens between Kane and Livia, and I get that. Mm-hmm. But in that case, just condense these like two pages to like her falling to her knees, shattered at what she just saw, or like freaking out, right?
Get to
because
the end of
we
it.
Already know what she saw. So just be like, I can't believe that happened. Where is Kane? Like, her freaking out and like asking Cassina, like, that's all we need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so they draw it out and make us relive everything that we already know happened through mm-hmm. the perspective of Lex watching. So I just really didn't think it worked at all. I think they were trying to like stretch out the emotional part of the narrative with like her watching everything happening and being shattered, but like it just
she's not
it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, so like, okay, for those that don't remember, basically what happens in the other chapter is Livia and Kane meet at the stables, and then she kisses him even though he's trying not to kiss her, because again, he's got like a poison cyanide pill or something, I don't even know. So she accidentally assassinates herself almost. And then he manages to break it off before, like, the pill, like, kills her. But there's a kiss there, right? Like, there's what appears to be a kiss. So, like, the second that we started to relive this, I was like, oh my god, I know what's going to happen. And it happens exactly like this. Lex watches them, like, have a kiss. And she's brought to, like, extreme anger at this. Like, she's, like, pounding against the... There's now a wall. There's an observation wall in the memory that she's, like, up against. And she's, like... Oh, no, the enforcement wall. She's really upset to, like, see, like, basically Kane kissing. And she's, like, a little surprised at her emotions. I mean, at this point, like, we need to embrace the fact that, like, Lex really likes Kane. Like, she's starting to kind of admit this to herself. But she still doesn't. She's, like, why is this getting such a reaction out of me? Like, you know, am I out of my mind? Like... Am I on his mind when he's with her is literally, like, one of the lines. So, again, this feels so deeply out of character with our, like, rough and tumble, like, take no bullshit prisoners Lex. But, like, here she is, like, enraged to find out that, like, he's kissing this other girl. Which right. is a direct dichotomy to how she feels as he's being beaten to death, which happens a second later. There's, like, no reaction to that whatsoever.
At all. She's like, let's rewind to the kiss, actually.
That's yeah, what... she's like, I want to watch that again.
What the fuck? So I don't know if you agree with me. I'm guessing you probably will. But I felt this whole thing was, like, very convoluted and wordy. Like, what are they even fucking talking about? Like, yeah. Her and Cassina. So she watches the whole thing, and then Cassina takes the chip out of her
yeah.
wrist or whatever. And she's, like, trying to get information out of her. And Cassina's kind of, like, already turned on him, which I'm really confused because, like, he's on a mission, right? Like, wouldn't he get the mission from the same place she would? But she's like, oh, he's with all the other traitors and dissidents.
I think she's... Okay. No, I think... I disagree, actually. Okay. What I got out of it, yeah, let's rumble. What I think happened is Cassina's into him. She's, you know, she loves him. And of course, in like a YA novel like this, love is the only goal any girl ever gets to have. So she really likes Kane. So she wants to know where he is. But she does think that he's some sort of traitor. And she's basically used the extent of her privilege as, like, a rich person to, like, basically get this memory. But now she's come to meet with Lex because she thinks that Lex is going to have more information about, like, whatever plan Kane was carrying out. That's why she's there.
But she also wants to help him at the same time.
She wants to help him, but I think, like, she's saying he is part of the rebellion because he attacked this highborn girl. I don't know. Nowhere do they say rebels. Rebels are not brought up in this chapter. But all we really know is that Cassina is, like, trying to find him, and because she's in love with him and, like, wants to help him, but she doesn't even know where to begin. So that's why she's, like, basically coming to Lex. Right?
Okay. I guess so. I don't know. It, like I said, confused me. So we also find out, we didn't know this, right?
Oh, about the dad?
Yeah. Waslow is her dad.
Cassina's father.
Yeah. So the weird child.
I had a question about this. Yes.
That they let go is Cassina.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So yes. So, okay. So this is where like, you know, before you were like, we needed something new to come out of this. This, I guess, kind of is that, but.
I mean, they didn't need to describe the whole thing, though. She could have, Cassina could have still told her.
Right, right. Like, that could have been part of it. But, like, yeah. So there's a man in the memory who, I guess, was Wassla. I couldn't, like, remember as I was reading
this. I went back and I looked. It was him? And Wassla was with her. He was the only, like, I think, person who, besides, like, an officer that was named, right? Cool. So I'm pretty sure it was him. So, like, yeah. Wassla is her dad. Woo!
It's Cassina's father. Yeah, it's Cassina's, yeah. Like, that's my daddy who's, like, in this memory, which, so I don't know. I don't know why she's not. Again, if I'm Cassina and I know that my dad is involved in this, like, that's who I'm going to go to in order to, like, do some sleuthing. Does she even say that she's, like, gone that route? I don't know. Lex is sort of very, like, have you even thought through, like, your plan here? And Cassina's like, this is my plan.
My plan is to get you to help me, which on the surface, I love the idea of them being forced to work together, but that's, I just fun. Think the execution is really off. Like, the excuse for why Cassina is coming to Lex doesn't make sense. Lex trusting Cassina also doesn't make a lot of sense, although it makes a little bit more sense because Cassina has more, like, access to, like, records or whatever, or supposedly she does. I don't know, because I don't really know what her fucking job is. If it was clearer, then I guess it would, like, make a lot more sense, right? Like, oh, she's able to access, like, I guess, chips, and that'll help me in this way, right?
she's the Lay's heiress.
She's all the chips. Heiress.
The Dorito Empire comes to her. So, yeah, the chip thing is still so crazy. But, yeah, she was able to somehow use... This is what doesn't connect me. She was able to somehow use her, like, immense privilege and status to, like, get this memory, but, like... That's like high treason, right? Like, within in Drithian society, like, getting someone else's, like, memory, like, you're not supposed to be able to do this. We know this because this is what Lex was telling us, like, when she went to go break in to get Kane's memories earlier, right? Like, so Cassina will do that, but, like, she can't get any sort of additional information out of her own father.
Right. And, like, if she's putting her life on the line, like, committing this act of treason, why in the hell would she trust Lex with that information?
Lex is here to prosecute, like, treasonous people. Like, Lex is like, I'm going to kill people.
And they literally hate each other so much. Like, the thing that bothers me about this whole thing also is that you just have Cassina delivering all of the information to Lex. Like, she had to do zero to get this. It would have been way cooler if she had to do something to get at this information and then found out that Cassina had, like, committed this, like, huge act of treason and be like, if you don't help me, I am going to report your ass. And that would have been so much better, but she has no agency. She's on a Roomba and everyone's just giving her the information.
Yes, it's true. I mean, Cassina, that's really crystallizing it, though, because literally Lex, like, snuck into, like, this vault, which apparently is behind all the security. And then, like, because of the convenience of people coming up to people in our novels and, like, giving them the information, so did Cassina. Cassina also had to break through every single security to come deliver information to Lex. Like, these people are going through such hoops for these lazy ass girls.
I mean, write what you know. There was a really funny line where. So Cassina says he's the perfect choice, really. Start talking about Kane, like, why he was chosen to, like, go assassinate Olivia. Mm-hmm. And Cassina says he's the perfect choice, really. She says, regaining her crustiness. Wow.
Oh, my God.
The fuck?
I missed this.
Wait. I highlighted it. I didn't miss it. I sure did not.
Oh my God, she's regaining her crust.
I am just. I mean, she kind of ate her up with that one a little bit.
Yeah, careful. You don't want to regain your crustiness. Oh man. Also, we should state. Sorry, I'm like losing it this time. We should say that, like, okay, we relive the whole memory through Lex's eyes, but it's Kane's memory, not through his eyes, whatever. Like, Lex watches it. Cassina takes the chip out of her, like, wrist slit, ew. And they are then back in the vault where they were, like, two chapters ago. And then Cassina's like, you don't even know anything useful. Because she basically realizes that, like, Lex didn't know about this mission. Like, Lex is as surprised as she is to, like, see this, right? Mm. And then Lex pins her to a wall face first, knocks out her knees.
Just all of a sudden.
The rest of, like, the conversation in this, like, takes place, like, via them, like, pinned to the wall. So it's, there's something a little bit, like, lezzy about this, a little sapphic about, like, them, like, pinned to a wall. And I was like, oh, this, there's something here. Like, this would have been a great thing to pursue, right? Like, the two girls trying to, like, save this, like, you know, this boy in distress, right? Like, he's the damsel in the situation, right? They're gonna team up to save him. But I love the idea of, like,
them falling in love.
Falling, yes, in love. Like, that would be really fun.
That would fix the whole book. That's what I said. The whole them having to work together, I was like, I swear to God, if they're not at least best friends,
yeah,
by the end of this, but it would be amazing if they were gay. We know that's not gonna happen, but we can dream.
Truly, oh my, you know, what else do I have to live off of, basically, at this, yeah, point? Like, oh, the other thing that drove me crazy about this, and this might be my thorn, is that, like, so they're having this conversation basically about, well, we're going to have to, like, go get him. But we end squarely in Lex's thought process where she's like, and you know what? Like, and I'm going to make that bitch, Livia Cosmo, pay for what she's done, which, mind you, is nothing. Like, even from what she witnessed, even from what she reported to us, was hardly anything. Yes, Livia kisses Kane, but, like, somehow, even though she literally watched her, like, best friend get, like, beaten to a pulp, she's still back on Livia, and she's thinking, like, I'm gonna find that girl, because she thinks maybe she knows something. That's sort of her thinking about it. But she's like, I'm gonna find her, and, like, I'm gonna, like, make her suffer. Like, I hate Livia Cosmo. So, like, we're back squarely where this book is comfortable, which is, like, girls hating other girls, and without really much reason for it, when clearly there's a larger thing at play, but, like, all she can think about is, like, getting back at a girl. It's so weird.
The whole conversation that they have leading up to Lex kind of deciding that she's going to go after, mm-hmm, Livia, which doesn't feel very convincing to me at all. Like, yeah. I really agree with you. Like, what, like, she was an she was going to get assassinated. Like, but what does she know about this guy? If she tried to kiss him before he killed her, like, why would she know anything? She's obviously in the dark, right? About, yeah, his true motives.
Yeah.
So, very flimsy excuse.
Yes.
But then from the very beginning of their interaction, they're just basically talking about, oh, first of all, Livia is an orphan, which Cassina, mm-hmm, told Lex, so we know that she knows that, mm-hmm, but they just talked about the logistics, basically, of Kane being chosen to be an assassin, and, like, why he would be chosen, and, like, how practical it is, and it just feels, it doesn't feel like a natural conversation.
It is, like, so weird.
Yeah. It just feels like info dumping for information that we absolutely do not need. And it feels like the author's trying to justify their decisions of why Kane was chosen to be an assassin, when, to be quite honest with you, I do not care about that at all. I don't think they need a justification for it. He could have just been talented and he was chosen and that's it. We already know he's, like, really good at, you know, doing stuff. Like, he's good. He's charming. He fits, mm-hmm, in places. Mm-hmm. We knew all of that. But it just sort of, like, feels like a board meeting where we're, like, being told all this information about, like, why Kane was chosen. And it just doesn't feel like a normal conversation between two teenage girls who hate each other. Even, right, if they have to work together, there's no banter that is, like, funny, except for the crustiness thing, which was said in her head. And we're just being retold things that we already know.
Right.
So it was kind of frustrating to me. And then for the conclusion to be, I'll go after that girl, she'll lead me to Kane, there's no other way. Are you 100% sure? Because it sounds like a bad plan to me.
Right. Like, what would an assassination victim know about their own assassination plan that they wouldn't have then used to not be assassinated, right? Like, it's such a crazy plan to be like,
why would she know girl, where they're taking him? They probably right. want to keep them apart, right?
Like, that girl knows something. Like, oh yeah, the girl who clearly didn't know that she was about to die. Like, oh yeah, let's talk to her. And I feel like, okay, there could have been some logic. Like, I think through these things all the time because the nature of stuff that I write, like, you know, there's murder, there's mayhem, there's mystery, right? And, like, oftentimes I need to get the characters to put together certain clues but not others so that they make the mistake of following, like, a red herring, which, of course, like, progresses the plot, moves them along, but, like, they can't put together all the right information, but they have to put together some information in order to, like, right. keep going, right? So I'm not, like, totally alien to the task at hand here, which is, like, we need to get Cassina and Lex somehow in pursuit of Livia Cosmo. That's fine. Okay, great. Like, if we're starting with that, and here's some, like, this is, like, when we're going to edge into, like, craft territory. If we're starting with that, right? Like, if I know that, like, the end goal is to have them after Livia, I then have to think, okay, they need to think of a question that only Livia can answer. And that question could be as simple as, what were you doing in this garden? Or what did Cain tell you right before, like, you tried to kiss him? Or something like that. Like, you've got to figure out, like, the information that she definitely has, or that we can sort of misunderstand her to have. And this almost does that, where it's like, she'll know something. But you have to figure out what that something is, right? And it can't just be like where he's been taken, because again, Cassina has way more access to figure these things out. It's got to be something specific about that moment, and it could be like a misinterpreted version of the conversation, because again, like, Cain and Livia had a whole conversation, and like, maybe we could have gotten like bits and pieces of that, but this book conveniently says the audio is fucked up in the memory, so they can't understand a word Boo. That they're saying, which is so fucking lazy, but okay, fine. What? Okay, the audio is messed up. Then say these people were having a conversation, perhaps, like, you know, Lex with her supervision could sense that, like, the girl had some sort of interest in Cain, right? Like, she's basically able to deduce that there's, like, a connection between them, and she wants to exploit that connection. Like, that would have been fine, too. She watched them literally kiss. That would have been a totally logical thing for, like, yeah. oh, these people definitely have, like, a relationship. Like, let me go see what that's all about. But no, none of that happens. She just simply decides, okay, this is my, like, next lead, and there's no real reasoning to do so, and it annoys me.
I think that they could have very easily, two things. Mm. If they would have actually given Livia some sort of goal in life that had to do with Lex, this would have been a really convenient moment to bring two characters that need each other together by Lex not going after Livia, but going after Wazlow. That makes so much more sense. And they live together, right? Mm-hmm. So if she had gone to try to find Wazlow, ran into Livia, and Livia is the one who's like, wait a minute, I know you're that girl, I yes. need you, and then they both need each other. Mm-hmm. That would have been so much cooler, because first of all, it would have given Lex some sort of agency. It makes more sense for her to find, like, Wazlow obviously knows where she's been taken if he's the one who was, like, hosting this whole thing. He was very clearly in charge. He's Cassina's dad, so he must be, like, high up in the social hierarchy, right? So why didn't Lex just, she's not scared of fighting fucking samurai, so she was probably like, all right, I'm gonna go find this guy, this Cassina's dad, and threaten him. I'm gonna beat the information out of him, whatever I need to do. But instead, she comes up against Livia, and they realize they look just alike. I don't know what it is, but something that would have been really cool.
What the other thing, I totally agree, but also the other thing that no one is talking about is the fact that they look like twins. We know that there's something twin is going on here, but, like, at no point while watching this does Lex think, this girl looks like me. And it's making me, I'm like, feel like we're being gaslit. Like, are they, like, paternal twins? Like, is that what's going on here? Like, what is happening?
I have no idea. Supposed to,
like, look for, like, similar, right?
They are, because Cain, when Cain he
is like, you, yeah,
yeah, you look familiar to me, to Livia, which obviously yeah. he was referencing Lex, but they just did everything wrong. What are we gonna do?
let's end this. Let's go to Rosenthorn. I'm done. Okay. I'm done. It's over.
It's over. All right. So done. All right, Ryan, okay. What's your rose and your thorn?
My thorn is that, by the way, you said flimsy. I had literally written flimsy in the text when we were talking about, like, the reasoning. Is that the calculus for, like, moving the plot forward is so fucking weak. And it doesn't have to be. There's plenty of stuff that you can misinterpret from watching a memory like this play out that could lead you on the path that you want to be set on, you know, that the author wants you to go on. But the calculus was just so off that I feel cheated by that. My rose, I don't know. The funniest thing to happen was that crusty line, which I didn't even
catch because
I was reading so fast. But that's really funny. I guess my rose is that I do like the idea of Cassina and Katniss or whatever her name is, like, teaming up, Lex, because I like the idea that, like, you know, for a while, I thought Cassina was going to be this discarded bully, right? Like, she was going to bully her. She was going to sort of be there as a foil and then go away. And I'm happy that she appears to have a lot more to do in this book than simply be the, like, mean, bitchy girl. I think it's going to be done poorly. I mean, I know that. But at least she's here and we get to see maybe something result from this dynamic.
I agree with you. I like that. So I agree with you about Cassina, but what I will say is I loved the, not loved, but I did like the twist of Wazzle being her dad. I thought that was a cool way to sort of, like, connect everything. And it was a good twist. And I'm glad that, like, the comment about their weird little child wasn't just, like, a throwaway thing, that it actually led to something. And I hope that they can connect them even more so, and that, like, that connection that they have between them will result in them getting closer. That's my hope. I'm gonna say my thorn is just the fact that this chapter didn't take advantage of, I mean, the last chapter was kind of anticlimactic also, to be quite honest. I mean, I wish that they had just kind of gone from the attempted assassination straight into them pursuing trying to find Keen, because I think that it like stifled the pacing a lot, and it just, like, sucked the momentum out of the moment. And it's like they find this really important thing out, like, this guy that they both super care for is, like, hurt. Maybe just watch them, like, somehow make them, like, Cassina tells Lex, for whatever reason, find a better reason, not the one that they gave. I don't like it. And then together they, like, set off to, like, try to talk to Wazzle. Like, Cassina's like, my dad will know what's going on, but, like, I need you to come with me because I can't get through this barrier without, like, your like, fighting power or whatever. Something like that. Right? Yeah. And she knows that Lex is the only person who will break the rules enough to help her. I would have loved that, to, like, go straight into the action. And then the next chapter, we could have seen the two main characters finally meet, because I just want it to get to that point. And I feel like it's already been stretched out so much that, like, it's kind of annoying. So we're, like, I'm at page 91 of 188 in my, in the ebook. I don't know where you are, but it's, like, really, like, we're in it. We're really far along. And I just wish that the pace was picked up more already.
Yeah, I have to agree. I feel like where this book is going to sort of shine is going to be Lex and Livia, like, figuring out how to work with one another or what have you. Like, that kind of seems to be where we're going. It is so frustrating that it's taking them so long to, like, get FaceTime. And also, like, I think by the time they do, I'm a little worried about it being redundant, because both of them already have, like, a girl rival. So they're going to meet up with one another, and then they're going to have yet another girl, like, rival slash, like, person that they're always, like, butting heads with. And, like, that can't be every dynamic in the book. So I'm like, it probably will be, though, right? Like, the novel thing to do at this point would be to have them get along. That would be shocking, and that would be refreshing.
Girl gang.
Right?
I would love it.
Like, I would love that. And I'm like, of course, like, they're gonna have to sort out their differences, because that's what these books do. But, like, it does mean that we're only going to see them finally start to, like, be cohesive as a team somewhere in the second book, which I don't even fucking know if we're gonna get to. Like, there, I cannot imagine.
doing. I feel like we should move on to Snooki's book after this or something, because
something, yeah, like
we need a light, like, read.
Something, yeah, something quick, something punchy, because this is like the, oh god, Kylie, Kendall, give us a call, please. We will help you figure this out. But okay, those were some good Rose and Thorns. I agree with us.
Yeah, I agree with us too. We're so smart and hot.
Yes. Thank God. So thank you, Hot Queens, for tuning in. It's always a blast. It's good to be back. We should be back to most of our regular schedule releases from here on out, now that our busy season has sort of come and gone. So thank you for bearing with us. You can find all of the links to our social media in our show notes, along with the link to our Discord. And if you'd like to follow me, all my links are also in the show notes, but I'm basically everywhere as the Ryan LaSalle. And right now I'm using TikTok, and I'm using X begrudgingly, and Threads in Instagram.
If you want, I was doing the thumbs down. if you want to follow me, Clarabelle, I'm at Clarabelle_Ortega. I'm mostly on Instagram and TikTok, but I do also use Threads and Blue Sky. Blue Sky, I don't know my username. Just look for Clarabelle Ortega. It's weird on there. And Threads, I'm also the same username, at Clarabelle_Ortega.
Woo! Oh, good to be back. It's good to be home. Thank you, Hot Queens. We will see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Biggest kisses. Oh, can I tell you something that I keep saying in my head?
Yes. Yeah.
Hello, Christ. I'm about to Cinnabon.
What?
Cinnabon. Cinnabon. What? Like in the mall.
Cut it. Cut that. Don't ever say that again.
Funny.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.